Welcome to the Hope Community Sunday Podcast for the weekend of December 21, week 4 of Advent, and our focus is love. I'm Dan Nygaard. In Christian tradition, the Sunday prior to Christmas Day is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Advent is a Christian ritual that arose organically sometime in the 5th century, somewhere in northwestern Europe. We are not sure where or when or just how this Christian ritual arose. It is widely assumed that this Christian ritual of Advent is an adaptation of sacred animistic symbols that have been redeemed and repurposed to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Its messaging also was clear. It's not about the candles or the wreath or anything like that. It's about the light of the world that has come into the world and shall return. The purpose behind this Christian ritual is to prepare people for the coming of the Lord by looking back at the great advent of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. The four Sundays of Advent focus on four crucial elements of Christianity. First and foremost is hope, and it is not a wishful hope. It is a certain hope, a hope based upon divine revelation, Christ's incarnation, and biblical prophecy of his return. Secondly, Advent celebrates joy, the joy that results from the presence of God with us, the power of the Holy Spirit in us, a joy that's not based upon our circumstances or our environment. It's based upon our relationship, our connection with the kingdom of heaven. A third element of Advent is peace. Peace that the world cannot give. Peace that the world cannot take away. It is a peace that launches only when repentant believers make room for God to move into their lives. The fourth and final Sunday of Advent, the focus is on love. That is our focus today. If you have your Bible or your smartphone, turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 3. I'll be reading verses 16 through 21, but it is well worth your time to read over the entire chapter. John chapter 3 recounts a conversation, a deep theological conversation between Jesus and a Jewish religious leader. We pick up the conversation in verse 16 with the words of Jesus. Jesus says to this religious leader, Nicodemus is his name, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." Heavenly Father, in these next few minutes, our prayer is that Jesus alone might be exalted. Amen. The focus of this fourth Sunday of Advent, the theme of the entire Bible, is this: God loves the world. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We need to define this term love. In our culture, we love all sorts of things. We love a good meal. We love our favorite music, or favorite movie, or favorite book. And for all of these things that we prize, that we take great pleasure in, we have one English word, love. And this term, love, is so overused in our culture that it has lost much of its meaning. The first century Greco-Roman world had several Greek words that they used for love. They had phileo, brotherly love. They had erotica, romantic love. There was also the Greek term agape, one of the least common words in classical Greek language. Agape is an expression of the most noble form of love, which sees something infinitely precious in the love object. Agape is a love that desires to enhance the object that is loved. Agape is the term the early church adopted for the love of God. For God so loved the world, for God so agaped the world that he gave. For God so loved the world that Christ entered into our material reality. He entered in so that he could identify with the suffering of our world. Indeed, Jesus Christ, God in flesh, took upon himself that suffering. He confronted the cause of suffering, the chaos, the destruction, the evil that the Bible summarizes as sin. Not only did Christ identify with the suffering of the world, but he confronted it. He battled the immaterial power that is the source of that suffering. Behind all of human history is a spiritual conflict with evil powers, powers that are the source, that originate human suffering. Christ, self-sacrificing love, that agape, triumphed over the chaos of evil. Christ's self-sacrificing love empowers believers to escape the evil and destruction of our world. God loves the world, but hear the verdict that Jesus passes on this world. In John chapter 3, verse 19, Jesus' verdict is that humanity chooses darkness. This is the verdict, Jesus told Nicodemus. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Okay, so we took a couple minutes to define the Greek term love. We need to take just a couple of minutes to define the Greek term evil, ponoura in the Koine Greek. It is to practice wicked things, to abuse one's free will by created beings, both human and spiritual, that is, angelic created beings. The Hebrew term denotes spoiling or breaking in pieces, resulting in becoming useless and corrupting and polluting. That is the biblical concept of evil. That is the evil that Jesus condemns, that he announces the verdict that humanity chooses the darkness. Evil is something harder and crueler than sin. The Hebrew prophets define sin as missing the mark, falling short of God's requirements. Evil is certainly a sin, but evil, it seems to me, is a preference for chaos and destruction. Evil interprets death. Evil interprets killing as a solution. 2025 saw the public assassination of Charlie Kirk. It was an evil act of silencing a voice in the debate. It was seen murder as a solution. People literally celebrated his death with posters announcing debate canceled. Such an act, such a response to such an act of killing, is simply applying the final solution of Adolf Hitler, applying the judgment of Stalin and Mao that killed tens of millions of people in order to solve a political problem. The Dan Nygaard definition of evil is to view destruction and murder as a solution. The Bible promises that evil shall be eliminated from this world. In his book, The Problem of Pain, C.S. Lewis wrote, "Pain might possibly awaken an evil person to reality. Until awakened, an evil person is enclosed, that is, insulated in an illusion." Jesus' verdict of our world is that people choose darkness. They choose evil. The question for Christians, the question for the church is, how do we respond to humanity's choice of darkness and evil and destruction? Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 20, "Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed." What was true in the first century is certainly true in our 21st century. People prefer darkness over the light. So how does a Christian respond? I suggest there are four ways that Christians have traditionally responded. One is to withdraw from the world. The holiness movement that came out of the Wesleyan revival was the concept of withdrawing from the pollution of the world, establishing alternative communities where love was the priority, where truth was the priority, and where repentance was a necessity. Holiness communities became notorious for what they did not do. They did not drink. They did not go to dances. They did not smoke. Oftentimes, they did not engage in politics. Critics accused holiness people of creating holy huddles where they cocoon together with the goal of creating a safe environment. The problem with withdrawal, the problem with the holiness movement, is that it fails to follow the biblical example. God so loved the world that he entered into the mess, entered into the chaos, confronted the evil, rubbed shoulders with the sinners, never allowing his environment to put out his shining light. Another way that Christians have traditionally responded to humanity's choice of the darkness and the evil is to confront it, to call it out. The Salvation Army is just one of many Christian efforts to go in to those places where evil and darkness is most powerful and say, "Stop, don't do it. Those you are making destructive choices, come, follow the path of truth, enter into the light." Confronting evil is a second way that people have responded to the human choice to avoid the light of Jesus Christ. A third way, and kind of the way that the evangelical church has adopted, is to tolerate evil, to simply put up with it, to rationalize that evil is just, that's the world in which we live, and we need to respond with tolerance and understanding and acceptance and try to help people. The Andy Stanleys and the Joel Osteens of our time want the church to be a place where anyone will feel comfortable and accepted and tolerated in hopes that they will come and hear the gospel and choose to enter into the light and truth of Christianity. The biblical response to the human preference for darkness and evil is love. But the biblical response is not syrupy love, not sugary love, nor is the biblical response judgmental love. The biblical response to the human choice of darkness is tough love, sacrificial love, agape. This is not an easy thing to do. It is contrary to our human nature. Indeed, it requires the presence and power of God the Holy Spirit to empower us and guide us to love in a way that can lift others up out of the evil and the darkness. And that is the great hope of Christianity. God still loves the world. This is the hope of Christmas. This is the hope of the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, John chapter 3, verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." God's response to the human choice of darkness, destruction, and evil, God responds with out of this world love, self-sacrificing love, love that frightens the one who loves, and yes, love that shocks the object, the person who is the object of your Christian love. The New Testament recounts how Jesus Christ is God's response to humanity's love of darkness and destruction, chaos, and evil. God responds not by withdrawing, but with revelation. Because so few of us are listening to the voice of God, God took on a human body and entered into our world so that God's message of love, the Logos, might be heard with audible ears and written down and recorded for all of human history. That revelation of God in our world, Emmanuel, is God's response to the human's preference of darkness, because God still loves the world. The incarnation is God's response to humanity's preference for darkness. Today, the presence and the power of God the Holy Spirit continues God's response to the human preference for darkness and chaos and evil. The Holy Spirit is active in our world, convicting people that they are in the darkness. The wisdom of God, the Holy Spirit, in the world alerts people to the truth that they don't have to live in the darkness. There is a higher, a better way to live. The power of the Holy Spirit empowers people to escape the darkness through their belief in Jesus Christ and obedience to his teachings. The presence of God, the Holy Spirit, in our world today puts on display that God still loves the world. Finally, the promises of Jesus Christ assure us of God's love for this world. Jesus told his followers, "I am going to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I shall come back and take you to be with me." The Gospel of John begins the first chapter with the promise that all who believe in Jesus, God empowers to become his own children. Jesus told his disciples to celebrate that their names are written in heaven, that we are citizens not of this world. We are not global citizens. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus promises eternal life for all who believe, but eternal life on a much higher level than we live here and now. Eternal life in the kingdom of heaven, because God still loves the world. Christmas confronts us with the story of how God himself entered our world because of his great love for each and every one of us, and challenges us to humble ourselves and come into the light of God via repentance. Jesus reminds us that the proud will always avoid the light because they are about protecting their own choices, living out their own truths, living in their pride. But the humble, through repentance, come into the light. The story of Christmas, the story of the entire Bible, is that God still loves the world. And the humble and repentant are welcomed into the kingdom of heaven. They are empowered to become children of God, and they are guided by God the Holy Spirit and by the Gospels to enter into and walk in the love of the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus said God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. God offers, God desires, deeply desires to save and to rescue you and me and your neighbor and the guy down the street and the person on the other side of the world. God still loves the world. That is the message of Christmas. That is the message that Christians have to proclaim to a culture that chooses darkness over the light and truth and salvation of Jesus Christ.